Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in Internet Radio Land, wherever you are. This is John Stanko, your host for another edition of Wake Up to Purpose. And I know we're going to have a great show today. One of my favorite people in the world, Pastor Yvonne Brooks, is actually on hold from England, calling from over there, 10 o'clock at night. That's just her level of commitment to the cause of purpose. And so I know we're going to have a good time, and you're going to enjoy hearing from this very dynamic woman that I will be bringing on in just a moment. I trust you are well wherever you are. I'm very delighted with the response of this rejuvenated and revived blog radio show. And we've had some great guests on in the last couple of weeks. And so if you go to blogtalkradio.com/John Stanko, you can access any of them, and you can download them and listen to them later through iTunes or through your music app on your phone, or you can listen to them from the web, either way that is best for you. I think if you download them, you do get a little better connection or a little better continuity in the program. But either way, when I listen to them on my computer, I don't have any problems. But trust you are well. Not much to report on the international front. I heard from Uganda today. They are extending their lockdown until May the 5th. I had an interesting call, and I had been thinking about this, that there aren't many cases in Kenya. Of course, they are locked down, and I think they got it in time. But still, I know they live in close proximity, and so it is the drug that has been, you know, kind of bandied around as a possible cure. And I should have looked up the name. You know which one it is. Yvonne will know when I bring her on. But, you know, so many people in Kenya have had malaria, and they've taken that medication for malaria, that there is some conjecture that that has actually kept the number of virus cases to a minimum. And so there was a study done, from what someone was telling me, by a Polish institute that said they saw some correlation. Anyway, but the good news is that there are not many cases in Kenya. The bad news is nobody can go anywhere. Nobody has any food. Nobody has any money. And if our economies in the West are being racked right now, I can't imagine what's going to happen to their economy. So we need to keep praying. I thank you for your support of the funds that I have established on Facebook and through my website for you to give. And everything I get goes towards the care of the partners and the schools and the orphans that we work with in Kenya. And so far, we've been able to, every time they ask for something, we have been able to send it. We have a very efficient app that puts it right into their account, and they actually spend their money off their cell phone, so they don't even need any cash. So you can always write me if you have a question of how to give towards that, but thank you for your generous support, and I'm just trusting the Lord. We'll be able to continue to do everything that we know to do. Part of my challenge is when people give through Facebook. The good news is Facebook doesn't take any fees. The bad news is it takes 45 to 60 days for it to be sent to the organization that it was given to. So instead of them charging fees, they use your money, you know, for their own purposes and invest. You know, they treat it like a bank does. And so anyway, but we're trusting the Lord. And speaking of trusting the Lord, as I do on every show, whether it's Facebook Live or whether it's here on Wake Up to Purpose, we start by reading Psalm 91. And for 4 weeks now, I've been choosing a different version, a different translation of the Bible, and we haven't run out of them yet. And so this particular version is the International Children's Bible, ICB. I didn't know such a thing existed, and I don't know anything about it, who initiated it, who publishes it. It goes back to the mid-80s. And as is the case with most of the translations or versions, there is a title to this particular psalm, and this title that they have assigned to it is Safe in the Lord. So let's read this and just let this sink in. As I say, we're not doing this like a rabbit's foot or for good luck. We're just making some affirmations of our trust in the Lord. And so let's go ahead and let me read it and you follow along. Those who go to God Most High for safety will be protected by God All-Powerful. I will say to the Lord, you are my place of safety and protection. You are my God and I trust you. God will save you from hidden traps and from deadly diseases. He will protect you like a bird, spreading its wings over its young. His truth will be like your armor and shield. You will not fear any danger by night or an arrow during the day. You will not be afraid of diseases that come in the dark or sickness that strikes at noon. At your side, 1,000 people may die, or even 10,000 right beside you, but you will not be hurt. You will only watch what happens. You will see the wicked punished. The Lord is your protection. You have made God Most High your place of safety. Nothing bad will happen to you. No disaster will come to your home. He has put his angels in charge of you. They will watch over you wherever you go. They will catch you with their hands, and you will not hit your foot on a rock. You will walk on lions and cobras. You will step on strong lions and snakes. The Lord says, if someone loves me, I will save him. I will protect those who know me. They will call to me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will give them a long, full life. They will see how I can save. Now, we've certainly been reading this and thinking, and first and foremost, about the pandemic. But, you know, I was thinking today, we're going to need this, the promises in this psalm, perhaps after the pandemic passes, because that's going to be such an uncertain time. As I mentioned earlier, the economic uncertainty in the world after that. Certainly, we don't know here in the United States what the implications are going to be, how quickly things will recover. And so we're going to need to be making affirmations of our trust in the Lord regularly. And so Psalm 91 is something good to have, again, not as a good luck charm, but as a statement of what we believe and how we define our trust in the Lord. So I know I'm staying busy with lots of writing, lots of publishing, getting my daily walk in, trying not to eat too much in the house. Of course, I've worked out of my home the last 6 years whenever I am home. And so, I have to hide some of the snacks so I just don't keep raiding them, because I'll write for an hour and then I go get something to eat. And anyway, that's my cross I have to bear, and I really, really can't complain. So at any rate, I said I have a very special guest today who's called from Birmingham, England. So let me bring on Pastor Yvonne Brooks. Pastor Yvonne, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose.
Good evening, Dr. Stanko. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. And how are you doing in jolly old England?
I'm doing very well. Very well indeed.
Good.
We've had beautiful weather these last few days.
Oh, good. Good. And, yeah, we talked last week and you had good weather, too. Ours is not. It's still cold. It was sunny today. We actually had some snow last Friday, and so we're waiting for the better weather to come. And that, I guess, begs the question, give us a report from the UK. What's going on? What's your lockdown? What are the terms? How are people doing? How bad is the public affected by the virus? Just give us the bird's eye view of the situation where you are.
Well, Dr. Stanko, it's very quiet over here. You look out of your window, you don't see anybody, you don't hear anything. The skies are very blue. Apparently, pollution has improved because there are no cars on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We can hear the birds singing in the morning, and also at night we can see the stars, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen stars for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, we're allowed to go to the shops. We're allowed to go for a walk, for exercise, as long as it's only with people that we live with or by ourselves. And, of course, we're allowed to go out into our own gardens and front yards and do a bit of work out there. But when you go to the shops, there are queues because they're only letting so many people in at a time, and we're observing social distancing quite strictly.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't actually been able to go to the shops for a long time. Today I decided, right, I'm going to go to Costco. I went to Costco. There must have been 200 people in the line stretched around the store, underneath the store, through the car park, and out the other side.
Mm. Wow.
So I changed my mind. Whatever I needed, suddenly I didn't need it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah,
it's
that.
Here.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I was just saying it's very peaceful over here. People seem to be taking it well, but of course there are things that we don't see through the walls, and things that we don't hear that maybe we're not aware of. But certainly on the news they talk about domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about parents coping with the children being under their feet for 24 hours. But these things are not visible. But everybody seems to be coping well. Some people are very anxious because they just can't work out what's happening. And I was speaking to a friend today, and she was saying that her friend's husband had been sectioned under the Mental Health Act because his anxiety had gotten out of control.
And now you and your husband, Pastor New Jerusalem Apostolic Church, and we'll talk more about that. But how's the church adapting? And have you been in touch with the people? And what did you do on Easter? Were you using social media? How did all that go? How was that adjustment for you and for the people?
Well, we were very quick to take the government's guidelines about the social distancing. So we actually haven't had services now on a Sunday for 3 weeks. But we have had online services every Sunday. And how we do that is somebody will actually go into the church, maybe two people, and we will film the speaker. We've got footage of our worship team. So all of that gets put together in an hour program that we actually air on a Sunday. We've had a really good response to that, and also we have something called a life class on a Tuesday evening, and we do that by Zoom, and that's really good because it allows us to see one another, which when things were normal, we actually took seeing one another for granted. But now that we can't see one another on a daily basis, then we're really appreciating the Zoom. And what we also do on a Sunday after the church service is broadcast, we actually have a tea break. So everybody will make a cup of tea, get a biscuit, and we do a Zoom call, and we literally just talk to one another, find out how we've been doing, just as we would do if it was a real setting, only it's virtual because, of course, we can't meet up together. But we did respond very quickly with the online services. Adam and Matthew, who are my sons, they really rose to the occasion, made sure that we have the equipment that we need and that we are observing the government guidelines. As to being in touch with the people, what we've done at the church, we've asked the different ministers to take a number of people, and they're responsible for phoning these ones and just checking that they're okay, if they need anything. We have quite a few WhatsApp groups as well. And so with the WhatsApp groups, we keep up to date with prayer requests, with anything that's changing, anything that's happening. We are really trying to keep a cohesive fellowship and relationship with the members of the church. But we're also trying to interact with our community. And so, as you know, we have a food bank at the church, and it's not a very big food bank. So we thought maybe we would run out of things and shut down after a few weeks. But we have been so well supported by the shops, donating food items for us to give away. And also we've been able to purchase some items ourselves. And we just have a constant stream of people coming to the church because I don't know what it's like in the U.S., but a lot of people have been laid off their jobs or they've been furloughed. And some people actually have no recourse to money right now, although they're going through the system. But, of course, every system takes time to kick in before they start to release money coming out.
Right, right. We over here today, actually, citizens started getting checks from the government, the economic stimulus checks that eligible adults can get up to $1,200. I think children are eligible for $500. Is there anything like that being discussed or anything like that being done over in the UK?
Yes, they have something called, it's a credit, it's called a credit, and people are allowed to claim this. The only problem is it takes a few weeks to kick in, but everybody is entitled to something. They've put something in place called the furlough. So say, for example, you have a business, but you can't afford to keep paying your employees, then the government will actually give you money, I think 80% of what their salary or paycheck is, and the government will give you that money so that you can retain your employee so that when the lockdown is over, you can actually get up and running again. So that's right. It's universal credit that we have here. There's unemployment benefit as well, and there's housing benefits, and everybody who's eligible is allowed to apply for that. But the government also gave an edict saying that all homeless people must be off the street. They must be housed, and the local councils were responsible for doing that. And I must confess, I haven't been out much, but I understand that the homeless people on the streets have almost disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure with our homeless. I mean, we have many shelters, probably not enough. So I'm not really up on exactly how we're addressing the homeless issue. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Pastor Yvonne Brooks from Birmingham, England, and we're going to talk a little bit about purpose and a little bit about ministry and a little bit about personality. And Pastor Yvonne, just tell our listeners, give them a little thumbnail sketch overview of your life and bring us up to what you're involved in ministry today. But tell us a little bit about who Pastor Yvonne Brooks is.
Okay, well, I lead a very exciting life. It wasn't always this exciting, but I met Dr. Stanko in 95, 96, and it got more exciting after that. I'm actually coming from Jamaica. Ocherius in Jamaica, I came to live in the UK when I was 8 years old. I joined my parents who had come here to seek out a better life and a better standard of living. Of course, I've been here now since 1964. So this is more my home than anywhere else in the world. And I actually was born into church, okay? So literally the night that I was born, the pastor's wife was with my mom in Ocherius, as my dad had left to go get the midwife. So when I was born, she rejoiced over me and said, another one added to the Sunday school. So literally, I was born into the arms of the church. But I think that even though you might be born into the church, you're not always aware of the things that are involved in the church or what it's really about. You don't always get an authentic picture of who Jesus is or of who he wants to be in your life. So literally, I grew up not understanding that I was actually a unique individual, that God knew me, that he had plans for me, that he cared about me. Even with all my faults and my foibles and my failures, he had a plan for my life. I had no idea about this. I thought I was just lumped in with a group of people, and God would only take notice of me if I did something wrong, at which point he would hit me over the head with a big stick that he was holding. It was only in the 1990s when I started to hear a little bit about purpose, and it dawned on me, oh my goodness, you mean that God knows me as an individual, as a person? And one of the first people that brought that to my attention is a good friend of mine from Kansas City, who told us that the power is in the pew and that God had a plan for our lives. And it was right on the back of that that I met Dr. Stanko, who spoke about purpose. This was like music to my ears. And then I also purchased a book that he wrote called I Wrote This Book on Purpose So That You Would Know Yours. And I have to confess that is still one of my favorite books that he has written. I could not turn the pages fast enough because I was finding out that there's a plan, there's a purpose for my life, that my personality, my character, everything about me was a clue to who God wanted me to be. I was so excited. And after I finished that book, I was so blessed because he was actually in the United Kingdom in Watford, and he was talking about personality profiles. And of course, I thought, I have to do that. There was a financial charge for that, but I decided, you know what, I'm going to find that money. I am going to have it done. And so said, so done. I discovered from the personality profile that I have a high I. It's a DISC profile, D-I-S-C, each of the letters standing to describe a facet of your personality. And I was profiled as a high I. I was extroverted, inspirational, excited, you know. And I love to laugh. But before this, I always used to think that laughing is a sin. It's wrong. You shouldn't be having fun. Surely Christians are baptized in lemon juice, and the more miserable we are, the more holy we are. Oh, how wrong can you be? The personality profile literally liberated me. It wasn't immediate. It was gradual over days and months as I began to see the truth of what I had discovered and to realize that it actually resonated with me. And I got used to the idea that God wanted to use my high I personality to do something in the kingdom. It changed my life. And this is why I think I will always be attached somewhat to Dr. Stanko. He can't really get rid of me because he's responsible for turning the key in my prison door and allowing me to be me. He encouraged me to be me. He encouraged me to take chances and to trust God and not to believe that it was the enemy who was speaking to me, but that it was actually God who was giving me instructions. He actually did say to me at one point, if it's the devil that's speaking to you and answering your prayers, then you're in more trouble than you know.
So true.
So inspirational. And up to this point in my life, he still is.
Well, it's an honor. And what were you doing when, what was your occupation when you took this profile and when we first got connected? What were you doing professionally?
Professionally, I was a mental health nurse, and I used to work in a mental health hospital in Stafford, where I was in full-time work at that time. But I knew somehow or the other that that wasn't my future, but I had no idea what my actual future would be.
Yeah, and at this time also your husband was pastoring a church, Pastor Melvin, is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Melvin was pastoring in the neighboring city of Birmingham. We lived in Stafford at the time, and he was pastoring. And, of course, Most pastors over here at that time were in full-time work and then pastored at the weekends. But this year, around the same time as me doing my personality profile, we went on holiday in Wales. And as he was in Wales, the Lord actually spoke to him and told him to do a certain thing when he got back to work. And the Lord showed him this woman speaking to him and saying certain things. And the Lord told him, when she says this, you must say yes. Well, as it turns out, he went back to work and they were offering redundancy. And it occurred to him that this was his opportunity to go into full-time ministry. So he decided to apply for the redundancy. But his bosses did not want him to leave because he was such a committed and a good worker. But he felt the pull of ministry on his life, and he felt compelled to obey what God was doing. Now, I make it sound pretty easy, but it's not as though we had a large church that would be able to pay him a good salary, but he really believed that God was calling him, and I encouraged him to follow the voice of the Lord. And that was in the July. By November, he had left his work and was now in full-time employment at the church. Of course, this meant that he was getting not even a third of the salary that he used to take home from his paid job. Mm-hmm. But do you know what happened at that time, Dr. Stanko? It's as though God made our money turn to elastic, and it would stretch, and every bill that we had was still paid, even though he was only on a third of his monthly salary. Mm-hmm. I was still on my monthly salary, but I was working by this time as a mental health nurse in the community. So there were no extra money. It was just like 9 to 5 with no unsociable hours. So the money was just a basic flat line every month. And do you know, even though we had less money than we've ever had, God made it so that we were able to pay our mortgage, pay our council tax, gas, electric, and still put food on the table. So this is how we knew and had it confirmed that it was God's desire for him to step into ministry. It wasn't too long afterwards, I think maybe a year or two, that he asked me to drop a day from my job at the hospital and start working for the church one day a week. And that's how I started to make the shift into ministry. I started to set up systems and different things within the church. And I think it was around this time that you became a little bit larger in our lives. And you would come sometimes to the church and you would teach about purpose and purpose quest along those lines. And you began to open our eyes to the different things that was possible if we just became more sensitive to God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Pastor Yvonne Brooks from New Jerusalem Apostolic Church in Birmingham, England, where she pastors with her husband, Bishop Melvin Brooks. And her children are involved. It's a wonderful church, wonderful family. You had started something for women before we met, and then our meeting impacted what you had started. Talk to us about that organization then and the organization now, what it's called, what it does, and tell us how you're involved there.
Okay. Well, I had started something called Women in the Word. Now, as I said to you before, I started like pastoring one day a week, working alongside my husband, and I felt a really strong impression that I needed to do something for the women. Now, this was around, 90-something, and at that time, there was not very much for us women in the church. There weren't many women in leadership, and I just felt a pull to do something for the women. So one of the first things that I did as Women of Purpose was to do a banquet, because normally around Christmas time, etc., there was nothing, nowhere for us to go or to dress up, and we weren't really encouraged to dress up. I never even possessed an evening dress because I never went anywhere to wear one. So we started off with the banquet, and on the back of that, I felt the urge to hold a conference. Oh, my goodness. That first conference, the theme was Thy Kingdom Come, and it was held in Shropshire, just outside Shrewsbury, and there was 120 women who came. Don't ask me how I got them there. I had never run a conference before. I hadn't even met anybody who ran a conference, but I just kept following what I felt the Lord was impressing on my heart, and everybody paid up, and we had the most wonderful conference. In this first conference, it was amazing to me because I had never seen the Holy Spirit operate the way that it did. I can actually say to you that women were mantled for ministry. We had adventures in the Spirit. We worshipped in ways that we had never worshipped before, and I promise you, we did not leave that conference the same as we went in. This impacted me so much. I actually thought God had only called me to run one conference. But by the time I got home, he said to me, next year the theme is going to be, and I thought, oh no, not again, because the stress, remember, I didn't have money set aside for ministry. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any experienced advisors. So it had been a real struggle to get the conference on the road. But it was successful. It was a blessing. And the following year, we also ran the conference again. And we did this. I think you came possibly to the fifth or sixth conference. Mm-hmm. And during that conference, I was impressed to change the name of the ministry from Women in the Word to Women of Purpose. It felt so right because now the whole thrust of everything that we did was around finding our purpose and walking in it, helping to educate the ladies, helping to draw out what was in them, helping them to see what was in them and that they were unique to God, just as how you had drawn me out with the teachings and with your personal mentoring. We now began to do this for the women who would come to the conference. We also held other seminars and workshops in between. But then in the year 2000, the Lord began speaking to me or giving me a very strong impression that there was something else that I needed to do in addition. And literally, in the one sitting, he gave me what is now known as the Esther's Academy. And it was to be like a school of refinement for ladies because he wanted his women to project a certain kind of image, to have the confidence to know who they are and to know how to operate on any platform. And so we started off with Esther's Academy in the year 2000. When I ran the first sessions, it came across to me that I needed a team of people to help me to run this. So for a couple of years, we didn't run it, and then we relaunched in 2007, and we started the program again. But by now, it had developed from 4 days into a seven-week workshop, which would happen on a Saturday for 7 weeks. I have to tell you that up to date now in the year 2020, we are running 9 weeks. The workshops are based on the book of Esther. And from Esther, we've taken learning. So first of all, we discover who we are in God, what he says about us. We discover the power of the blood of Jesus. We talk about relationships and how we function as single women, married women, or if we're second time single, how do we function? We deal with communication. We deal with money, how to budget, how to maybe run a small business, how to shop wisely. We talk about etiquette and deportment. We also look at styling, how we style ourselves, because you only get the one opportunity to make a first impression. So we talk to the ladies about their shape, the colors that they need to wear, their makeup, their hair, everything about them, how they put themselves together. And all of this culminates in a roundtable counseling session where we discuss all together certain issues that we can face as women that would act as barriers to us moving forward. And then if any of the ladies need a one-to-one session to deal with any issues that they still have, then they have that session. And then we have the graduation banquet, which we call the Esther's Banquet, where the ladies don their purple evening gowns and they wear their tiara and they matriculate and receive their certificates and enjoy a salubrious evening amongst their families, their friends, and dignitaries from our city. I can say to you that at the moment we have three Esther's Academies here in the UK. There are about seven in South Africa. There is one in Zimbabwe. Last year we traveled to Texas in the USA where we did training so that the Esther's can begin to be rolled out there. And this year in February, we went to Jamaica, my home country, which I didn't know I would have the privilege of taking the Esther's program to Jamaica. We were in New Kingston, and we had the most tremendous time there with the ladies, and the program was due to start shortly, but because of the COVID-19, we're waiting to see if it's still possible to do it this year or whether we'll have to push it back till next year. And just after we traveled to Jamaica, a team of ladies from South Africa traveled to Cape Town to launch the Esther's Academy in Cape Town. And they're hoping to run their program also this year. But, of course, we'll have to wait and see what Mr. COVID says. But as you can see, God himself has anointed this program, and it is moving around the world. And I have no hesitation in saying that God is using it to change the lives of every woman that comes into contact with the Esther's Academy.
Yeah, it certainly is. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Pastor Yvonne Brooks from Birmingham, England. She's been telling us about the Esther's Academy that operates through her organization, Women of Purpose. Pastor Yvonne, are you still doing the conference that you mentioned I came 2 years ago?
Yes, you were with me in 2019 as our guest speaker at the conference. And not 100% sure about what's happening this year based on how long we're locked in for, but
sure.
There was plans to hold a conference in October as usual, and we will continue with the conference until I believe the Lord is saying something different. But it impacts so many women, and I keep getting testimonies about how the ladies' lives have changed and how we've helped them to be who they are right now. So I am so encouraged, but I give all the glory and all the credit to God. And I'm so grateful that he would think about using me. I always say to people, I'm just a poor girl from a poor family, yet it pleased him to call me onto the stage. And in fact, just let me say this, that we changed the strap line and vision statement for the Esther's Academy to preparing women for the world stage. Because everything that we do is calculated to help them to step into any setting and to equip themselves and to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in the most wonderful way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did something else at the conference last year. We launched a project that you and I had worked on. Talk to us about that.
Oh, you mean the books?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, after so many years of knowing each other, you invited me to write with you, and I was so excited because you are a tremendous writer and communicator. And it was only a very short space of time we were able to write our book, which is entitled Colleagues on Purpose. And the feedback here, Dr. Stanko, is so powerful. People are buying the books for themselves and buying one for their friends, because in that book, we actually chart a section of our purpose journey and how our lives crossed each other and how we were able to walk together and assist one another. And I must confess that I do think I got the best part of the deal, because I got all of your experience and your sense of humor. And I like the way that you speak to me, because you challenge me every time we speak to stop thinking in a set way. And I think anybody who reads our joint effort, our book, will also be challenged to step out and to step into the purpose that God has for them. So I do recommend that book, Colleagues on Purpose. Please read that. And of course, you also helped me as I wrote the book on menopause, which was the journey that I've been on the last few years. And what really struck me was how little the subject is talked about. It's almost as though it's too shameful, or whatever people's perceptions are. But it's a real experience. Women are going through it. And I found out that by talking about it, sharing it, it helped me to complete that journey much, much easier. Plus, the women I speak to, and I don't just speak to women, I speak to men, I speak to young people, anybody who will listen, to let them know that this is a normal part of growing up and growing through it, and that to help ourselves, we need to educate ourselves and recognize it is a normal part of life. So I'm talking about that because you helped me to publish the book, and so now it's available. It's on Amazon. Both books are, and people can actually see them and purchase them there.
Yeah, and it's not just women, too, for the menopause book. Men need to read it, too, and be aware of what their partners, what the women in their life who may be at that stage are going through, so that they can be more empathetic, more understanding, more sympathetic. And so I learned everything I ever wanted to know about menopause working on the book. And but it's done with your lightheartedness and your humor, and of course you tell your story, and so you make it very accessible, and there's no shame, and you have some testimonies from our stories from other women of what they encountered, and from what I read of all the stories, everybody has a different experience with this chapter in their life. And so I was down in Florida not too long ago, and one of the pastors said, yeah, he just confided in me that his wife suddenly, you know, the menopause just came upon her. And so I gave her a copy of the book. And I've been a little hesitant to ask if I don't want to follow up and pry too much, but because it is a private matter, it is personal. But at the same time, it's important for her and her husband and her family to understand this. So if anybody, if you're listening and you want a copy of the books, you can go to the description of this show, and they are in the links show up in pink, and for both Connected, Colleagues on Purpose, and Menopause, What Every Woman Needs to Know. And that's also in the UK if you're listening. You can order there through Amazon, and they're both available through Kindle as well, so you can download them. What was the process like writing the books, and have you continued to write? But you know, some of our listeners, you know, they sometimes approach writing like it's climbing Mount Everest, and it's something only that a few people can do, or that it's my guest on Monday said, it's like swimming through peanut butter, that it's you got to slog through. What were the projects like for you?
Okay, well, both projects were completely different. With the first book, Connecting Colleagues on Purpose, we actually held conversations which were recorded, and then you were able to transcribe the notes, and I was able to make any changes or additions to them. And it was almost like the book appeared by magic. It was the most pain-free thing that I've ever done. I think I'd rather write a book than have a baby. You made it so, so easy. So that was an outstanding experience. Even designing the cover of the book and having it printed and everything was such a simple procedure. So I would say to anyone who's listening that wants to write a book or feel that you have a book inside of you, talk to Dr. Stanko. He will make that process so accessible accessible to you, not just in the sense of writing the book, but even financially, he will make it accessible for you to be able to print your book. Now, with writing the book on menopause, that was a completely different process. I was sitting down the one day, and I just had an urge to begin to write my experience down. And so I literally started writing, and I think I wrote for 6 hours. And then I wrote for another 6 hours another time, but not all in one go. But I literally wrote for 6 hours in one sitting. I couldn't stop. And then I sent the book to Dr. Stanko. He had to look at it, and he started to ask me questions. And that helped me to section the book a little bit more and to make it more sequential. And I also felt that to have testimonies from other women who were having that chapter in their life would also help the people who would be reading. But do you know, I found it really difficult to get people to share their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
For many ladies, it seemed to be a thing to be ashamed of. And so I ended up, I think I must have had 6 or 8 people who actually ended up sharing their testimonies with me. But again, that process was so enjoyable because I was writing about something that was literally part of my own life. So that made it so easy to do. And then when it came to the publication, again, Dr. Stanko was instrumental in publishing that book. And made it so easy for me to be able to get it to the public. And, of course, I'm really grateful. So writing, it's not rocket science. It's writing about what you are concerned about, what's on your heart, what your area of expertise or experience is. And what I've actually done, I have continued to write. I've been writing about giving. It's not everybody's favorite subject. But I wanted to share with people how God had helped me to live a different kind of life than I had before, even in full-time ministry, to know that all my needs are met simply through the way that I give, through the prescribed methods in the Bible, through your tithe, your offering. And then he showed me seeding and scattering. And I'm sharing all of that in my book. But I've also been blessed to be able to proofread a couple of other writers' books. So I've done a couple of those in the last few months, and I'm really enjoying that. And I believe that's taken me deeper into the world of authorship, you could say, and also creativity. I've started reading more around being creative because I feel that there's still something or so much more in me that needs to come out. So I'm very happy to continue this relationship with Dr. Stanko and have him press my buttons so that I can keep on birthing what God has placed inside of me.
Indeed. Well, I love pushing buttons, so, you know, you've come to the right place.
And
you're so easy to work with. You are so easy to work with. And of course, we have a good relationship, and we know one another. We've invested the time in getting to know one another, and I've stayed in your home, and it's all just been pure joy. It's never been grievous or drudgery at all. And so there's life there. And speaking of life, and we've got about 10 minutes left, Pastor Yvonne, I want to go back to Connected. You talked about, you know, embracing your humor. You mentioned that earlier. There's another aspect of your life that was creative, and it's in the area of music. Talk to us about your, and I don't want to say your evolution, but your development of your understanding of yourself musically.
Well, I cannot think of a time when I was not singing. I don't play any instruments, at least not proficiently. But singing is something that I've always done. And people keep inviting me to sing, but I still am reluctant even now to sing. They tell me how much they enjoy it. I don't know. I hope it's not pride, you know, but I love to sing. I love for God to use me in that way. I find that he uses me to change atmospheres, to break atmospheres, and to do things that speaking would not achieve. So I believe that God has given me many strings on my bow. And even just talking to you about it now is making me feel that perhaps I should really begin to do that more again. I do want to work on a project of recording some old-time songs because I think that the old-time songs are so meaningful. The songs were actually not just written, but they were constructed, and they tell stories, and I love to tell stories. So maybe that's a goal that I need to set, Dr. Stanko, I'm not sure. But I find that singing is such an expression. When I can't find words to pray, I sing to the Lord, and I find it just builds such a bridge and strengthens my relationship with Him and with the people who hear me sing. Mm-hmm. So it's a creative thing that I so love to do. Every aspect of my life has been full of singing. I remember being on the youth choir when I was at church. This is between the age of like 11 through to 15. And then I moved on to another choir after that. I've sung solos, I've sung duets, quartets, quintets, whatever number of people you can think about, I have sung in them, and I have singing partners all around the world. And I just believe that it's something that God has given me, and I'm being convicted now, even as I'm speaking to you, that I should use it more. I remember once hearing somebody telling me about Lucifer. We know him now as the devil, but Lucifer actually had every musical instrument built into his body so that when he moved or when he lifted an arm, there would be music because he was the angel of worship. And I'm not saying that I have instruments built into me, but even as I'm speaking to you now, I'm convicted that God has given me something that I have underutilized, although I have used it to a great degree, and I'm sure Dr. Stanko can bear me out on that. But just having me talk about it now, Dr. Stanko, I feel that I need to do some more in that area. So I don't know if you want to press a button.
You know, I'm taking notes. So, and this is recorded. So you can't get away. Your family's musical too, aren't they?
Yes, I have a very musical family. My daughter sings like an angel. Oh my God! I don't know if there's somewhere I can post a video so that people can hear her sing. But she sings beautifully. Her husband is also a singer and sings professionally. My son, my firstborn son, Adam, he plays the keyboards, and he's able to get sounds out of that keyboard that are incredible. He's the musician at our church, and he plays for us, and it's just totally amazing. My youngest son, Matthew, is a professional drummer, but he's not just a drummer. He's also an MD, which is a musical director, so he writes music, but he also is a musical engineer, and he will lay down your tracks and build up music videos so that you can use them as backing tapes or whatever. So part of the other thing that he does is if you're an artist and you're coming to the UK and you need backing singers and you need musicians, then he will assemble those musicians and he will rehearse them so that you can literally step onto the stage and sing with them as though they rehearsed with you. But it's not just my children. My parents, my father, my mother was musical. And, I mean, up to the day that she died, she was still singing. My father sang on many choirs, also my mom. And I believe it's a heritage that I have. And now I've got a granddaughter who's 3 years old called Jade, and she sings at every opportunity. And I'm certainly going to nurture in her this musical gift. I believe it's there for a reason. Mm-hmm. So our whole family, Dr. Stanko, have been so blessed. And I'm sure that there is more that's going to come out of this.
Yeah, I'm sure too. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, do we have a website for Women of Purpose?
Yes, there is a website for Women of Purpose. There's also a website for Yvonne Brooks. Or you can give them my email address, which I'm happy for them to have.
Now, Yvonne, is it your website, YvonneBrooks.com, or what is that exactly?
Yes, YvonneBrooks.com.
Okay, YvonneBrooks.com, and what is Women of Purpose?
Do you know? I can't remember.
Yeah, I put you on the spot there. Let me see if I can
find
it.
When it comes to technology, I can't remember all of these .orgs and .coms, but if they search for me on Google, they'll find me.
Yes, yeah, you're accessible. And so Women of Purpose, UK, Rocky Lane, Women of Purpose, let's see.
Yes.
Yep, that's it. Oh, yeah, there we are. So I'll post it on the site where the program is listed, so people can access you there, or just go to Yvonne, Y-V-O-N-N-E, Brooks, Brooks.com. And you can get in touch. But again, if you Google Yvonne Brooks, Birmingham, England, you're also on Facebook. And so, we've got 2 minutes. Any final words of wisdom or purpose and or creativity or concern that you can leave with our listeners to consider?
Yes, Dr. Stanko. I would love to encourage every listener to step out and believe what they know about themselves, in the sense of a lot of us are waiting for something to change, for something to happen, for something to drop out of the sky, and then we'll step out into purpose. I discovered that all I needed to do was believe that God actually knew me, cared for me, and had a plan for me. And once I believed that, then I started to get impressions from him about what he wanted me to do. And as I would take the instructions, then I would see things become a reality. It's like with the Esther's Academy. I did not know that this would amount to anything, but I determined that I had nothing to lose. And I would just begin to take it one step at a time. I wanted to feel the pleasure of God. And I promise you that when you obey him and when you are walking in your purpose, you will always experience his pleasure and the joy and the increase that can only come from God. So stop doubting yourself. Stop wondering, is it me or is it the devil? Is it me or is it God? God is calling you. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts to give you a future and a hope. And I've just mixed two different versions of the Bible together. But he wants to give you a future and he wants to give you a hope. He doesn't just want to do it, because with our God, he starts at the end and works backward. So he already has an end for you, but he wants to get you there from where you are. Focus, believe, take it one step at a time. Do something toward your purpose every day. And in fact, discover your purpose. I remember Dr. Stanko would feed me with different things. He said I needed to have governing values. He said I needed to have goals. And I would listen and I would do what he said. And I found that all these things, as I look back over my life, has just accumulated and accumulated. So that now when I get an impression from the Lord, when I believe he's steering me in a particular direction, whether I have money or not, I'm going. In February, I knew that I needed to go to Jamaica to do the training there so that the Esther's Academy could be rolled out. I didn't have the money. Nobody sponsored me with my fare or anything. But do you know, the fare was paid. I went. Everything happened. And now we're waiting to roll out that program. If it's from God, God will underwrite it. Believe me.
Amen.
Take
Amen.
My word. And may the Lord
Amen.
Bless you tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Yvonne. You know, I love you. Appreciate you. We'll stay in touch. And when all this is over, we'll see how we can get together. In the meantime, my love to all your family. And let's talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stanko. God bless you, and God bless
and
your
you.
Listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, there you have it, Pastor Yvonne Brooks. Go on the show description. You can see the link for the two books. And write me if you want to get in touch with Pastor Yvonne. This is John Stenker, your host, signing off tomorrow. We've got Rachel Fleming, who just published a book, been to Kenya a couple times with me. Look forward to talking with her tomorrow. Until then, be about your work of purpose.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.